Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 510 of the Big Boo Cast. On this episode, Melanie and I have a wide-ranging conversation about my time in Michigan, about a storm in San Antonio, about a new historical interest that Melanie has. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. We would love for you to join us on Patreon if you haven't done that yet. It's at patreon.com/bigboo. Our most recent episode was our live book club episode where we talked with John Kenny, the author of I See You've Called in Dead. He was such a delight. We loved getting to talk to him so much and really loved his book as well. We'll also have our September Southern Living episode coming up in the next few days. As always, feel so free to stop by our Amazon shop to see some of the things that we love and love to use. That's at amazon.com/shop/bigboo. And finally, our Dallas live show is coming up. We have some exciting news about that we'll be sharing soon. We have a really special guest and only a handful of tickets left. So if you're interested, check out the link in the show notes. Alrighty, y'all. Thanks so much for being here, and we hope you enjoy episode 510. Hey, everybody. This is Sophie. This is Big Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
Well, I feel like just a whole lot has happened since we last recorded.
We had an eventful weekend, is what I'm going to tell you.
Okay,
over here in San Antonio.
Fill in everybody with the latest.
Listen, Friday night, you know, it hadn't rained here since like July. And
sure.
And it's just been so hot. And so Friday night, Caroline got into town. She and some girlfriends came into town this weekend because they were going to go float the river on Saturday. And so Friday night, she was coming into town. They were going to go eat later because, you know, she's got friends at work now. So they had to wait to get off their jobs until they could come to
Absolutely.
San Antonio. So they were getting it a little later. Well, you know, Perry and I need to eat at 5:30.
So you don't get reflux.
Uh-huh. That's exactly right. That's exactly. So we did our usual. We went to El Catrine at 5:30 Friday night. Caroline's friend Caroline got here and they were waiting on their other friend. Then we got home. The girls left to go eat dinner. And then they came back by the house and they were going to go run to HEB to pick up stuff that they needed for the river the next day. And then they were going to drop it off at the house and then they were going to go out. And so they leave for HEB and all of a sudden Perry looks at the radar. This is like 9 o'clock. And he was like, we are about to get hammered by a storm. He said, like, it like is all red heading right towards us. Listen, I don't mean to say sometimes Perry can be overly dramatic when it comes to the weather.
Certainly.
So I was kind of like, okay, like not even, I was like, oh yeah, man, that's whatever. And plus a lot of times those storms have a way of they fall apart right on top of us. I was not concerned. All of a sudden it thunders, the sky unleashes rain, torrential rain. So Perry had texted Caroline and said, hey, there's a storm coming. Y'all may want to get in and out of HEB. There again, I don't want to say that sometimes we blow him off, but I think she blew it off. So,
yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they pull up. We're standing outside on the porch watching the rain on the back porch. The girls pull up just to drop off their groceries. So they just drop off the stuff that needed to be refrigerated and then they get back in the car and they're headed out. They're going out. So we're standing here. I mean, the wind all of a sudden, like I cannot tell you, I've never seen, we've lived in this house almost 30 years. Like we have a huge pecan tree in our front yard and I thought it's going to fall over. Like it, the wind was crazy and it was so loud and so dark and the sky was the weirdest color every mm-hmm. time the lightning would flash and you could mm-hmm. see it. And then, so Perry's texting Caroline, I'm texting her and I knew they were somewhere on Broadway, so they weren't far. And so I was like, hey, are you good? I was like, y'all may want to head back home. Perry's texting her like, hey, we think it's a tornado. He was like, you need to seek shelter. Like, and Broadway floods really fast. So he was mm-hmm. like, you also need to get to higher ground. So all this is happening. And like all of a sudden, like a clap of thunder. And I mean, I'm talking everything went dark. Like all the power went out. everywhere as far as you could see. Then all of a sudden we heard this crack, and our neighbors have this huge ash tree across the street, and it just fell completely into the middle of the street. So then we're texting Caroline. We're like, you can't come down our street. You're going to have to go down the side street to get here. So she's kind of texting back, but not really.
Sure.
The storm comes. Then I tell Perry, we've got the pictures of Piper and Mabel on the back porch. And I'm like, go save the girls, because like the pictures are going.
Yeah. You can't risk losing those, for
no,
sure.
No. Mm-hmm. And so then it kind of, the storm passes. And so we start to, and then the girls get back home. They come running in. They're soaked. They're like, oh my gosh. Caroline was like, it was so scary. She said, I was on Broadway. She said, a Waymo just completely quit in the middle. She said, just stalled out in the middle of the road, which I'm like, wow. Note to self. That's why you don't want to get in a Waymo. And so, I mean, in the aftermath, it was like the huge tree was across the street. We lost half of our pecan tree in the back. And the fact that it literally fell, there's the smallest margin of error where it could have fallen on our roof or on the back house, and it literally fell right in our backyard, which feels like a miracle that it landed right there. But I mean, limbs down everywhere. I mean, as far, huge oak trees, like 100-year-old oak trees uprooted. So nobody has said tornado. I feel like, I don't know what's going on with the weather, where people were like, well, what it was a microburst. And I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure it was a tornado. Like, the wind was unbelievable. Like, and they said about 80 mile an hour winds.
Do y'all get like straight line winds in Texas? Is that a thing?
I think
it is here?
I guess so, but we never have. Like, in all the years we've lived here, we've never had anything like this. Like, this was, I don't know. But the best part of the whole story was when the girls got back here, then we had no power. So listen, don't think that Perry didn't distribute a headlamp to everybody.
That was one of my first questions to you Saturday was, hey, did y'all wear headlamps?
You know we did. Uh-huh. And so we all had headlamps. And that's the other thing, is we never lose power at our house for very long. Like, because we're on the same like circuit as, I think, maybe the police station, the fire station. So even during like our winter storm, so our power was out. So the girls got back home. I had fortunately that day at Trader Joe's bought a bottle of something called pumpkin spice martinis. Just come in a bottle.
I don't know if I feel good about it, but but I can understand it was provision. I can understand that. Mm-hmm.
Well, I felt like if you have a bunch of 20-something girls coming to your house, you know what they're going to like? Some pumpkin spice martinis, you know?
It's true. Mm-hmm. It's fair.
And so I poured those. We sat around in our headlamps, but the girls started telling us about... So apparently Caroline's driving. She's freaking out. You know, just the weather, it's intense. The Waymo's stalled. She's like, I'm trying to figure out where to go. I'm trying to figure out how to get home. Like, I don't know where the tornado is. And so she hands her phone to Megan, who I'm just going to say Megan is more my personality.
Uh-huh.
Megan was like, she's like, oh, your dad says it's a tornado. And Caroline was like, okay, but where am I supposed to go? Is he saying? And she was like, well, he says go east. And Caroline's like, I don't know which way east is. And so she said in the middle of it, then Megan goes, oh my gosh, you have 127 unread text messages? She was like, not now, Megan, not now.
I appreciate Megan bringing that to the forefront. I think, you know, maybe it's not the most convenient time, but I do think it's always time. Just to remind people that's a lot, you know?
That's a lot of missed text messages. And Caroline said that they had pulled up to the bar where they were going to go, and the lights, the power was out. She was like, so clearly we were like, and they, Caroline was like, well, I'm assuming that they're going to be closed. And Megan goes, well, Sonic's having a BOGO if we want to go drive through. And she was like, we aren't going to Sonic. So when our power went out on Friday night, the thing that I was dreading was I'm going to have to sleep with no air conditioning. But I will tell you what saved me is my Boll & Branch Percale sheets. We all know how it feels to sleep hot. It's miserable. So whether it's your thermostat or the mattress or even the person sleeping next to you, but usually it's none of those things. It's your bedding. The wrong sheets trap heat. And I really felt that on Friday night, because Boll & Branch felt like the cool side of the pillow, even when we didn't have AC that was working the way I wanted it to work. So here's what I love. Boll & Branch branches bedding options are breathable, they're lightweight, they're designed to keep you cool all night long because their sheets are 100% organic cotton. So they're woven specifically for airflow, not just softness. So it's not a synthetic cooling technology or chemically treated fabric. It's actually the sheets like your grandma used to have. So you can sleep cooler this summer and into fall with Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your first order plus free shipping at bollandbranch.com/bigboo with code bigboo. That's Boll & Branch, bollandbranch.com/bigboo, code bigboo to unlock 15% off. bollandbranch.com/bigboo, code bigboo, exclusion supply. And then later, Caroline was looking through her text and she was like, my dad said to seek shelter. You didn't tell me that part. And Megan was like, oh yeah, I guess I didn't see that.
Well, like, I mean, that would have been a big decision in the midst of it all. It would have been a lot to consider. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? So anyway, so we ended up sitting around in the dark and then the power never went back on, came back on. And so we all went to bed. And then, I guess it finally came back on about 7 o'clock the next morning. So, cause I was laying in bed hot, I know, hot, but not terrible cause our house had already cooled down cause it was late enough. So like, I think it was like 73 in our bedroom, which I know is a temperature that normal people can sleep at.
But when you're accustomed to that thermostat being on 58,
yeah, 73, you know, felt a little warm. So
it's balmy.
But I had charged up my travel sound machine. So thankfully, I did have noise. So that helped because we didn't have fans. But at 7 in the morning, when everything kicked back on, it was like, whoo, you know, I mean,
yeah,
everything. And Perry's bedside lamp went on. And so that was kind of jarring. And so that was it. And then, I mean, woke up to the light of day and I mean, just trees down everywhere. Like, I mean, it has been tree trimmer's best day, for days because of all the destruction and the trees and stuff that are down. It was crazy.
That's bananas.
Yeah, it was bananas. I mean, I've never seen a storm. And Gully, they lost power and didn't get it back until yesterday. They didn't get power back till last night.
Oh my goodness. That's a long time.
So when I tell you that Gully is in a fight with CPS, which is our energy company, when she was texting me yesterday about the list of people that she had texted and called to say, well, this is a major city in America and this is unacceptable for people to not have, and do not offer me a cooling station as your alternative. What I need is a crew to get out here and fix my power.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there are people in, I don't know if they have it back yet, but Gary, Indiana, like they hadn't had power in weeks. We got some infrastructure issues.
Yeah, got some issues. Yeah. So, and my friend Hillary, they still did not have power as of this morning. And so they had gone to stay in a hotel. Gully and her husband had gone and bought a generator so that they had power. And Perry has a truck, his new truck, that the whole premise for buying this truck, Soph, was that it has a generator on it and you can run the whole house on the generator. Everything. You can run the whole house. The problem was we don't have the stuff that you need, so that did us no good. It did us no good Friday night.
I bet you have it next time.
I was like,
have what you need next time.
That's what I said. I was like, you need to get to Lowe's and get whatever that is that you need to plug our house into your truck because this was unacceptable and we need to be better than this. So
that's right.
Anyway, so that's what was happening here.
My goodness.
I know.
I'm going to interrupt our proceedings for just a moment to give you an update on the shoes that you were asking me about before we started to record.
Oh, please. Yes.
Everyone, Melanie's investigating new running shoes.
Yes.
So here's, Heather has two that she likes, both basics. One is the Nova Blast 6.
Oh, okay.
And the other is the Glide Ride Max 2.
Okay.
And then, she said they hold her heel way better than her Brooks. They have a wide toe box. They feel like pillow top mattresses for your feet. And then she sent me a couple of pictures of the colors she has, just if you're interested.
Oh, yes.
She said they look great with browns and neutral active wear because your feet don't scream at everybody. I don't mind if my feet scream. But
yes.
But it is much more Heather's personality, like to like a shoe that skews more neutral. So Anyway, those are the two that she likes.
Okay. If you will forward those to me when you get certainly. A chance, mm-hmm. I would love that. So my problem is, I told Soph, ever since my, my unfortunate incident at the nail salon where I sprained my ankle, it's still just kind of been sore, not bad. It just kind of bothers me sometimes. But now my other ankle, it's like it's wanting to join in. And mm-hmm. so when I wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, because there again, I'm in my mid-50s, I'm like, man, both my ankles feel really stiff. And I think it's because Mabel and I are just, we traverse a lot of ground. And so I feel like I need a better shoe for my ankle. So I was researching what are good shoes for bad ankles.
Okay. Well, Heather really likes these.
Okay.
Heather also likes a shoe that goes easy on her knees. So I know if she loves these, they go easy on her knees.
Okay. So. This is great information. Okay.
You're so welcome.
Okay. So now you've been to Michigan. Have you ever left a doctor's appointment feeling like, I don't really understand what any of this means or what you're trying to tell me or what this blood work even means? This is why I love Superpower. Superpower sends a licensed professional to your home, or you can visit a nearby lab, and it's one simple blood draw with over 100 biomarkers, which is so much more than you usually get. And it unlocks a real understanding of your body, because these days I want to know everything. Tell me about my heart, my liver, my thyroid, my hormones, my metabolism, my vitamin mineral levels, even environmental toxins. So not just disease prevention, but also treating like, why is my brain foggy, or how can I optimize what I'm doing at the gym. Superpower is the most comprehensive and advanced system out there. I want to know, what supplements do I need? How much sleep do I need? What should my diet focus on? So I love that Superpower gives you an actionable health plan based on your results. So they give supplement recommendations, prescription suggestions like peptides that can be bought directly through Superpower, so you don't have to go anywhere else. It really is one-stop shopping for your health. You can even get your true biological age that you can track over time. Make this year the year you stop guessing about your health with Superpower. For a limited time, our listeners get $20 off to unlock their new health intelligence. Head over to superpower.com and use code BIGBOO for $20 off your membership. That's code BIGBOO, and after you sign up, they'll ask how you heard about Superpower. Do us a favor if you could and tell them that the Big Boo podcast sent you and support the show.
I have been to Michigan, and I want to thank Michigan for a couple of things. The first thing I would like to thank Michigan for is its weather. I was in Lansing. When I got there, I think it was like 72 degrees. When I walked off the plane, I thought, I have arrived in fall. I mean, that's what fall feels like to me, is like 72 degrees. And that night, it went down like to the low, low 50s.
I wouldn't even know what to do.
I couldn't. I normally get in a hotel room, I turn the air conditioning way down. Mm-hmm. I had to turn it up because it was just, it's not necessary, to just freeze myself out. And so that was the first thing I like to thank Michigan for. But man, I was in Lansing because the photographer for my cookbook that comes out next year lives in Lansing, and she has a huge kind of like cook's kitchen, like sort of an industrial kitchen. And so we had planned for a while to do the second round of photography for the cookbook at her house. And so I there was not that big of a drive between my hotel and her house, but I did get to see what I would consider some countryside, which I always like to take in the countryside. And it was still so pretty in Michigan. Mm-hmm. The greens were still so green and didn't look like they were charred and brittle, with
had been burned within an inch of their life.
Yeah, hanging on for dear life. So it was such a nice, just kind of like a physical refresher to be there with the cooler weather and the gorgeous outside. And I'm just endlessly fascinated with what hospitality looks like in different parts of the country, because I think every part of the country has hospitality. It's just, it may not be exactly the same brand as what you would find in Texas or what you get in the Deep South or whatever. And so what I noticed in Michigan, and I noticed this when I was in the Detroit airport, which is where I had a layover when I was on my way there and on my way back. A lot of people telling one another safe travels, safe travels, safe travels, which I thought was lovely, a lovely thing to say. I was told safe travels more over the course of my 4 days in Michigan than I think I have been in my whole life.
Okay.
I'm talking like down to the woman. I stopped by a Love's on my way to Laura's house that mm-hmm. first morning to fill up my car, and safe travels, you know, like I don't know.
It's very nice.
I love the safe travels. I thought that's a lovely thing to say to people.
Yeah.
It was delightful. We cooked so much food. You would have been miserable. It to the point where, and I think I have a little bit more endurance with this kind of stuff than you do.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was leaving Laura's house that first night on Tuesday night, and she was saying, "Don't you want to take this or this or this back to the hotel for supper?" I was like, "I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good." I had smelled food. And I had cooked a lot of meat that day. And the whole reason I went was to cook some of the more southern things that I'm more familiar with than Laura. And then Mumtaz, who's the stylist and the art director for the cookbook, who's a genius. My gosh, she's a mm-hmm. genius. Anyway, they had done a lot of stuff before I'd gotten there. They'd done some of the desserts, and they had prepped a lot of the stuff. They had done all the grocery shopping. But I was there to do, like, the cheese grits and the chicken and dumplings and the country fried steak, you know, all my gravies, that
yeah.
kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was so tired of smelling food by the end of the day Tuesday. I was like, I'm good. And then I went back Wednesday morning, and the first thing I cooked were cheese grits. And when I cooked those, I was like, okay, this actually smells delicious. I want some of these.
Yeah.
And then I made chicken and dumplings. And I really prayed. I was like, Lord, help me do this food justice, because, you know, this is Weta. This is my
yeah.
mama. The chicken and dumplings, that broth, that soup base for those chicken and dumplings, it was some of the work of my life.
Oh,
and,
well done.
And I will give Weta all the credit for that, and I will give God the glory, because
mm-hmm.
sometimes, you know, you just, the seasoning is off or whatever, but Mumtaz had cooked all the chicken. You would have been so grateful for this, Melanie. She had cooked 4 full chickens before I got there.
Oh, wow.
She had taken all the meat off the bones, and she had saved all the stock for me.
Oh, my gosh.
So when I got ready to make chicken and dumplings, all the homemade stock was all already done there. Like, and she left all the vegetables in it, like I like to do. And so when I had that stock already done, and Mumtaz had seasoned it to perfection, and those chicken and dumplings were so good. It was so much fun. It was so good to be in the kitchen with Mumtaz, who operates so much like I do, like really like likes to make herself kind of a small space and
yeah.
just chop right there and kind of get all her ingredients together in one little place. And we just put on a bunch of Dolly Parton music on that Wednesday.
Oh,
and,
I love that.
And listened to it all day and cooked and visited, and just we had a ball. So, and honestly, like if I were to talk about how they are able to take that food that, you know, I've eaten my whole life and mm-hmm. made my whole adult life, and just turn it into the most gorgeous, I don't know any word. I mean, it's just art what they do
yeah.
with it, and how they style
that.
It, and how, like, they make it look so beautiful, but so also approachable. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's not fancy food.
Yeah.
I was so carried away with that whole process. It's been so much fun to see sort of the behind the scenes, because we never really see the behind the scenes of how a book gets done.
No.
We just see, like, the words and then the final product. And so it's been really fun to kind of watch them work. And so then my editor, Kelsey, and a couple of other people from my publisher came over and helped and prepped. And I don't know, it was just like a big community effort, and it was really
so
fun.
I love that. Well, because, like, we never see, well, and because our other books have never had photography in them either,
right.
You know, so, like, for that piece, that's such an interesting, and I think especially sometimes southern food, I'm just going to say, it can be a lot of beige, you know what I mean? So
when I made country fried steak and I made that gravy, I was like, Mumtaz, I'm real sorry, like, you got a lot of brown to work
yeah.
with here. I'm just as sorry as I can be.
Mm-hmm.
And so But to see, too, how they're able to style it in such a way where, you know, like it just comes alive. What Mumtaz did with My Baby Lima Beans, the way that she styled those, like, it's so fun to watch. And it's actually really inspirational for me because I don't think about that side of things as much. And I know people say we eat with our eyes first, but I was never taught that lesson growing up because you just ate what was on your plate.
Yes.
And so, anyway, I really have loved so much working with them. And anyway, and they had a cookbook event of their own because they have a cookbook. It's called Gather and Graze that Laura Mumtaz did that came out a couple of years ago. It's food from around the world. Oh. And they had an event for their cookbook on Thursday night. And we're going to like pause on the stuff for my cookbook. And then they had to cook for their event that was happening Thursday night. And then they got back in the kitchen with my stuff on Friday. So I sent Mumtaz a message last night and I was like, I know that you are exhausted. Like,
wow.
At that point, she cooked for a solid week, you know?
Yeah.
Just bananas. So
that's crazy. Listen, but that tells you that you love what you do, you know?
It does. It does. And they do, which is why it's so fun. You know, because, you know, I love to cook. And so to get in the kitchen and to cook with people who also love to cook, but also love to style the food and to photograph the food and who understand kind of the whole vibe of Mama. And I don't know, it was really sweet. And I got very teary because I got to see page layouts for the first time.
Oh,
and I got really teary just seeing like the physical, you know, representation of all this stuff that's been in my head for 10 years at this point.
Yeah.
But anyway, but I thought the book came out next May. It comes out next October.
Well,
so I was really kind of in my head about, okay, so what does a book tour look like? Listen, I have plenty of time, Melanie. Yeah. I have tons of time to figure it out.
You have plenty of time. That's going to be a whole new football season from now.
It really will. I thought, I'm going to have two birthdays by the time the book comes out,
which is
kind of weird.
It's weird.
Lord willing, you know.
Uh-huh, yeah. When Caroline had friends coming in this weekend, I washed all the towels and the sheets and everything, and it made me remember how much I love my laundry sauce. It just takes all your laundry to the next level and makes everything smell so dreamy. But laundry sauce isn't just about smelling incredible, it's engineered for performance. So these highly concentrated pods are packed with the cleaning power of bioenzymes that obliterate stains from muddy hikes and backyard barbecues and Perry's landscaping clothes. That's what put them to the real test for me. And they have amazing scents. So laundry sauce has Australian sandalwood, which is rugged and warm and earthy. And my personal favorite right now is Siberian pine. It's just a clean, crisp, dreamy scent that makes everything smell so much better. When you subscribe to the Signature Package, you stay stocked with all of your must-haves. So you'll get detergent pods, scent boosters, dryer sheets, and more, all designed that infuse your laundry with high-end fragrance, fight stains, and elevate your laundry to five-star status. Plus, Laundry Sauce just made its Target debut, so you can go smell all the scents there. Shop Laundry Sauce in select Target stores now. Maybe the best part, they offer a full money-back guarantee. If you don't get better smelling, cleaner laundry, you get a full refund, no questions asked. For a limited time only, our listeners get 20% off your entire order when you use code BIGBOO at LaundrySauce.com. That's 20% off your order at LaundrySauce.com with promo code BIGBOO. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support the Big Boo cast and tell them we sent you. It's time to make Laundry Day the best day of the week.
So I left Michigan Thursday morning, but my flight didn't leave Lansing until like 11, and I woke up really early. So I thought, I'm going to go see Michigan State because, you know, I love a college campus.
Yes.
I particularly love an ag school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always really interested in what do our ag schools have going on in terms of their landscaping and also what unusual degrees are they offering?
You know,
like what weird buildings do they have?
Mm-hmm.
And so and that was kind of on the other side of Lansing for me. So I drove to the campus and they were having a move-in day. Like they hadn't started school yet. So it wasn't super crowded.
Okay.
And so at first I was like, okay, this is very flat. Because, you know, I'm always surprised when you have a flat college campus because Mississippi State is not. And it's not like Arkansas is, but it's, you know, it's got some hills to it.
Yeah.
But it was very flat. But what they had done, a lot of the roads had a lot of curve to them, you know, like going through campus. It was absolutely gorgeous.
Okay.
I think they have more grass than any
college campus I've ever seen in my life, to the point that I thought they have mowers running around the clock. Like somebody's on a mower here all the time. Mm-hmm. And I was sending pictures to my friend Jimmy, who does the landscaping at State, who's responsible for like the campus at State. And they're just some really beautiful garden areas. And I don't know, it was just so fun to see. They have hydrangeas all around their football stadium, which I did not expect.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
What an elegant flower to have around your stadium, you know?
Really? Yeah.
But I thought that was great. And then I also loved, you always know at an ag school, I feel like, when you get into the engineering section of the campus, like mm-hmm. you always kind of, the buildings change. They all kind of look the same at every ag school, you know?
Yeah.
They have a similar sort of profile. And when I was driving down the road and I saw that there was a building, and on the outside it said, Facility for Rare Isotope Beams. I was like,
yes.
Well, I gotta pull over and take a picture.
Tell me more. Yeah, tell me more.
I want to know more about, I assume they're very strong, these mm-hmm. rare isotope beams. But the fact that somebody has discovered that that's a thing and that now it's a whole area of study, I just thought, well, good for y'all. Good for
y'all. Listen, that's it. Mm-hmm. There's something for everybody. You know what I mean?
There really is. There was a school mm-hmm. of packaging, which, you know, whoever majors in packaging is smart.
Oh, yeah.
And so works with a lot of engineers, I feel like. So anyway, it was such a good trip. And I flew to Detroit and had a good little layover there and got to catch up on email and some stuff that I'd failed to do while I was in Lansing. And then I got home. I guess whatever, late Thursday evening. So.
Okay. Well, that was a good week.
It was a good week. Yes.
I know. Well, I felt like it was a weird. So Monday, was it Monday when Dolly Parton passed away, when we got the news?
Yes, it was Monday.
Because I was getting my hair colored. And so that felt appropriate. You know,
Certainly.
It felt appropriate that I was at the beauty salon mm-hmm. when I got that news. And it popped up on my Instagram, and then Caroline immediately texted me and she said, Dolly Parton has died. And I was like, that's really sad. Cause I don't know why. I know she was 80, but it felt like she was so full of life.
I know. And it really so sweet just all week to see how we all have known that Dolly is a beloved person.
But the
way that she lived, the kind of generosity she mm-hmm. had, her generosity of time and her affection for people, and not to mention her talent. I mean, that's its own legacy. But mm-hmm. it felt like even what took priority over people talking about her talent or even her music, it felt like the main thing people talked about was the kind of person she was.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, I can't get enough of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Of just somebody who's truly, truly beloved.
And yeah. I couldn't get over on Instagram. I thought, I can't think of anybody else who would pass away where everybody, no matter, because I feel like my Instagram, you know, the people I follow, it's fairly diverse, where I was like, but everybody loved her. Like she crossed political lines and all the different places where we usually divide up into factions. And I was like, she was universally loved. And what a testament to the way she lived and who she was and her talent and just how much joy she brought all of us. So
yeah,
I thought that was good. And then I had, in other news, you know, because I have my ongoing house situation, you know, we're still mm-hmm. working towards getting everything finished. So two things happened this week. Number one is I had decided the cowhide rug that I had in my dining room, it was this abstract cowhide rug. It didn't really go with what we were doing. I've never really loved it. It just didn't fit. I got it, and then I just was like, it really didn't feel like with what we're doing. So I was like, I'm going to sell it. I was like, it's still in great shape. Somebody's going to want to buy it. I put it on our neighborhood trade, like our selling site, to see somebody was interested in it. And then she was like, does it have any stains or pet odors? And so I was like, well, I mean, we have dogs, so I can't promise that it doesn't smell like dog, but I was like, you're welcome to come look at it. She was like, great, I'm going to come look at it. So I knew she was coming that day. So I was going to vacuum it really good and get it all clean. And I moved our table. And what had happened was our table has this round metal base. And I guess it was not sealed properly when we got it or whatever, but it had left a rust ring on that rug.
Terrible.
Terrible. And so I tried to get it out. Like I used my Folex and all my stuff. And I was like, it's not coming out. I was like, it's rust. And so I messaged the lady and I was like, hey, in full disclosure, I was like, there's a rust ring right in the middle of the rug. I was like, in good conscience, I cannot have you pay for this rug. If you still want to come look at it, you know, you can have it. So I'm going to tell you that Perry disagreed with that decision. That he felt like I should have. He said, obviously, you're going to give it to her for a discounted price, but you just gave it to her. And I was like, yeah, but it's a stained, it's a rust ring right in the middle of the rug. It just feels like I can't, who wants that? And so when she came, she was very sweet. And she was like, sure, I'll take it off your hands. And the glare that he gave me across the kitchen.
Bless. But has he met you, Melanie? Does he know you at all to think that you're then going to discount? Are you kidding me? Like, no. You're just so happy that somebody will take it.
That's it. I was like, you can have it. I was like, I don't want to mess with it. It's a huge rug. It's got this huge stain in the middle of it. It, you know, and it had also like left kind of an indentation where the table had been sitting. So, which was why I originally moved it, because I was worried about that. Like, did it leave like this dent in the, because the table's very heavy. But now what we've gotten into is a whole situation. So not only did I give the rug away, which he thinks was not a great business decision. Also now, Sophie, what we're going to need to do is take this whole table apart, because we're going to need to sandblast and repaint and reseal the bottom, or actually the whole base, because if we don't, we're just going to ruin the new rug. And I get it, but I'm also like, can we just get like a piece of plastic to set it on? You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to move. So like, do we have to like, it just, it's turned into a thing. Is what
now
I'm saying.
It's turned into basically a part-time job.
Yes.
Which nobody's looking for that. Nobody. No. I mean, maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Put a rust ring on the new rug. That's a years down the road problem.
That's it. It's really not that big of a deal, because I'm like, because this rug is only going to be used there. So if it leaves a ring on it, and also I feel like there's a way we could not do it. But when he started saying to me, what we're going to have to do is bring some sawhorses in, and we're going to have to set the table.
Absolutely not. No.
And I'm like, don't say sawhorse to me. It feels like too much. And so, and also now with all the trees in the neighborhood, he's busier than ever. So when is this going to happen? Because the new rug is just waiting to be laid out. And so, you know, it's killing me that I can't just put the new rug down. But the table is too heavy for, otherwise, if I could just do it myself, I would have already done it and been like, well, it is what it is, but it's too heavy, so I can't. So anyway, I have
sort of a sympathetic anxiety thing happening.
Thank you.
Right now. I really do.
Yeah.
Just knowing that you want to get that rug down, you want to get it handled.
I do.
You
know? And, I do. And, I just want it to be finished.
He's putting like 17 steps in your two-step plan.
Yeah.
He's added so many additional steps.
Uh-huh. Whereas I'm just like, you know what? It's going to be fine. We're just going to, it's all fine, whatever. But it's not, because the table's, it's rusted at the bottom. And I'm like, okay. So this weekend I was cleaning out some old makeup. And so I always think about, what do I use? What do I really want? What do I want to keep around? And one of the things that I always keep are my Thrive Cosmetics things, because they are the perfect thing for a simple everyday look that doesn't require a lot of maintenance. I know it's good for my skin because every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin, not against it. Plus, Thrive Cosmetics gives back. So when you buy a Thrive Cosmetics product, you know that you are helping give back, with over $150 million in product and cash donations to 600 plus giving partners. Your purchase directly fuels real impact, and that's beauty with a purpose. One of my favorites that I use every single day is the Thrive Cosmetics Brilliant Eye Brightener. So this is a waterproof eyeshadow highlighter stick that's made to brighten and open your eyes. It gives you just this radiant look for any occasion. You can apply it to the inner corner to look rested and effortless. You can make a smoky eye if you want to do that. It is truly foolproof, and it comes in 32 shades. So there is a shade for everybody, no matter how natural or dramatic you want your makeup to be. You can amplify your look with Thrive Cosmetics. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/bigboo for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETIS.com/bigboo. But then the other interesting thing that happened, so they came to finish, they finally finished the wallpaper in the hallway, because we'd had to order, we ran out, and so they had to order more. So our wallpaper installer came, who I really enjoy talking to and visiting with, and he does wallpaper all over. So he's seen all these. So we always talk about different wallpapers that he's been doing. So he came to do the rest of the wallpaper, and he had told me, he said, oh, I did. He said, I was at a house this week. He said, it was at a ranch house. He said, and she was putting up this wallpaper, and he showed me the picture, and he said, it had snakes all over it. He said, it had these, it's blue and green. It had little snakes all over it. He said, and it was called Emily Spinach. And he said, because that was the name of Alice Roosevelt's pet snake.
Oh,
did you know any of this?
No.
I had never heard any of this. So apparently, so now I have a whole new personality which revolves around Alice Roosevelt because I was so intrigued. So Alice Roosevelt is the daughter of Teddy Roosevelt.
Okay.
Who, you know, the Shankles have long, we have a whole thing with Teddy Roosevelt.
I know, yes.
So, you know, so anyway, Teddy Roosevelt, she was his daughter. Her name was Alice. Her mother, Alice, gave birth to her and died the next day. Back in 1901,
I think.
No, earlier than that. 1884, maybe.
All right, I'm totally checking your history, by the way.
Okay.
I'm totally going to fact check you.
Yes, thank you. I knew you would. So anyway, so Alice Roosevelt was raised by her Aunt Bamie, who was Teddy Roosevelt's older sister, and then also her dad and her stepmother. But she was 17 when he became president. And she had a pet snake. She was apparently a wild child. And she had a pet snake named Emily Spinach that she carried around in her purse, on her arm, whatever. He told her one time she wasn't allowed to smoke in the White House, so she climbed on the roof of the White House and smoked there.
So you spent some time with Alice, is what I'm gathering.
Mm-hmm. I'm now reading a book about Alice Roosevelt.
That was going to be my next question, and you hear the surprise in my voice at that that response.
Yeah,
I'm 0% surprised. This actually is your part-time job now.
It is.
It's not the table, but Alice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so I'm reading about Alice Roosevelt, and Teddy Roosevelt once said, I can either be president or I can control Alice. I cannot do both.
Okay.
And so I kind of love her, and she lived to be like 90-something. She didn't die until like 1980, so she met all these presidents. She was like the original, like, Lady Di, like, you know, kind of that Kate Middleton. She was America's princess back in the early 1900s. So anyway, I'm real fascinated.
Okay, and yet this is the first time I've heard of Alice. This is the first I've known of her.
Same. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything. And so Emily Spinach was the name, and I think that's a funny name for a snake.
I'm just still stuck on the snake. I'm still more on that part of it.
Yeah.
Again, the fact that there's wallpaper with the snakes. But
with Emily Spinach. And I'll tell you something else about her, that she was so sad when they had to leave the White House. I think when it was President Taft got elected, she was sad to leave because she had so many great memories at the White House, that she made a voodoo doll of Nellie Taft and hid it in the White House garden. And then Nellie Taft had a stroke, and Alice Roosevelt was banned from the White House grounds after that.
Well, listen.
I mean, I'm just saying.
It didn't take much back in those days, did it?
It didn't.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So anyway, but just to kind of, it's been a fascinating deep dive for me. So,
okay, well, I'm so happy to hear this new interest. I haven't fully synthesized it all yet, but it's always good to know where you are, you know?
I didn't see it coming, but it's taken my mind off the rust and the table.
Yeah,
this is the power kind of outage.
Like me and the birds.
It is. So when my next book has some, you know, random stories about Alice Roosevelt, just know this is the origin story of it.
There's not a doubt in my mind that it will. Not a doubt in my mind.
She was a beauty. Apparently she was a beauty. She set the fashion trend. She got married.
Okay.
She had a beautiful wedding. She married the Speaker of the House. It was a whole, but I thought how fascinating that I'd never heard of her.
No, I haven't either.
Anyway.
Okay, well, we went Saturday. This does not have anything to do with snakes or presidents. But we went, our friend Joey's birthday was last week. And so David had told him, this is a long origin story itself. But there's a guy I follow on Instagram who goes by the Fedneck.
Okay.
And that's not his real name, obviously.
Yes.
But he goes around, everywhere he goes, he tries hamburgers. And he ranks the hamburgers on a scale of 1 to 10. And so, and a hamburger is one of David's favorite foods. Like he's always game, you know, for a hamburger. And so anyway, I'd sent David this, post that the Fedneck did for this place that's north of here. I think northeast of here, that he gave a really high score to. And so when I was in Nashville last weekend with you, David and Barry, my brother-in-law went, and David said it was incredible, that it was just unreal. Okay. So he had told Joey, he was like, hey, we're going to take you for your birthday when Sophie gets back in town. So David and I picked up Steph and Joey Saturday morning, and we drove to Gallant, Alabama, which is about an hour from here, and went to a place called the Greasy Cove. I think it's called the Greasy Cove General Store. When you drive up on the Greasy Cove General Store, and they call their little restaurant inside the Greasy Spoon, you would not necessarily think that you were at a place that was still an active business, right? Like you might think back in the olden days, this was a trading post, but maybe not anymore. But alas, yes, it is still fully in business. And we went in, we ordered our lunch, and it was unreal. Okay. It was unreal. I got the mushroom Swiss burger. Steph got the bacon burger. Joey and David both got the pimento cheeseburger. Hand-cut fries. Unbelievable. Oh, they make homemade ice cream. They have two different flavors of homemade ice cream. And I mean like that icy kind of homemade ice cream. I'm not saying anybody's back there with a crank, but it is back there. And this is not being made in a Cuisinart ice cream maker. Uh-huh. Like this is something that's churning some rock salt and some ice. And then they have homemade hand pies. They had apple, peach, like all kinds of, you know, different fruits, whatever. Listen, I was trying to think, like, what are the best hamburgers I've ever had, you know, which I mean, that's a broad category.
It is. Yeah.
But this was way, way, way up there. Like I would say top three. And I wouldn't even know what one and two are really.
Okay.
Like
that's high praise.
So, I mean, incredibly good. But it's like but that was our trip. We went to Greasy Cove, and then we drove back to Birmingham. You know, like it's a little trip. But it was something else. So that was super fun. But then when I got home, I thought that I had something going on later that day, but then I didn't, and I realized I had a whole wide open afternoon because we got home probably at 1. And I realized I had a whole wide open afternoon, and I spent, you know, most of the week in Michigan. Anyway, I got in the guest room bed, and Lucy got up on the bed with me.
Oh, Lucy.
I know, Lucy, girl. And I watched college football, even though the games weren't very good.
No, they weren't good.
I mean, you know, but it was college football, and I could kind of scroll on my iPad while the games were on. But it turned out to be the most delightful afternoon. I took a nap at one point. I woke up.
I love that.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was such a good restful day. But okay, there are two things I want to mention because one of these things I watched over the weekend, and I want to make sure to mention it, and then I'm gonna be all done. I watched on Netflix the documentary called Death of a Preacher's Wife.
Oh, yes. I have not watched, but tell me.
I don't even have the words for my personal fury. It is absolutely maddening to watch and tragic. And and I have so many bad words that I would say if I didn't think people's kids were listening about what we tolerate, enable, condone, facilitate within our church walls. I am so tired of pastors. I'll take when I edit. I'm so tired of it. And man, it's in. I just can't. And the documentary is really, really well done. And I knew this story. I read about it when it happened. Mm-hmm. But my gosh. Mm. So it's just 3 episodes. They're fairly quick to watch. But maybe, you know, if you have something that sort of habitually helps you lower your blood pressure, I might want to have that on hand.
Okay.
When you do. But anyway.
Okay.
And then, so that's my that was the thing that made me a little ragey this weekend. Mm-hmm. But here's the counterpoint to that. When I was going to Lansing, I saw in my Apple Music, so there's a guy named Ryan Beatty. I've listened to him on and off for a while. Ella told me a couple of years ago, Ella went to see Noah Kahan. He opened for Noah Kahan.
Okay.
And I saw that he had a new album. And I was like, oh, I'm going to listen to that. It has been a minute since I ran across an album that was like no skips.
Okay.
Yes, Please, every song, it's like short, 10 songs. It's not quite 40 minutes. I love the whole thing. The lyrics are great. I will say the lyrics are kind of adult in a couple of songs. So, well, you know, just if anybody's paying attention. But the lyrics are gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And the music is so good. And I even texted you and I was like, this is what we can play in the kitchen when we cook this fall. Like, it's just great cooking music. And I know that I am not his target demographic.
Well,
but man, it's just a fantastic album start to finish. So I'll mention that.
I'm going to put that. I forgot to, but I'm going to put it right now because when I go take Mabel here in just a little bit, this is what I'm going to listen to. I think the real question is, are we anybody's target demographic anymore?
No, we're really not. I don't, you know? Not anybody's target demographic except maybe AARP.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. I was just so happy to hear like the lyrics for this. And my friend Chad, I used to teach Chad, we've always liked the same kind of music. And so I texted Chad one day this weekend and I was like, hey, check out this album. And he was like, this is perfect because I'm about to pressure wash, so I can listen to this when I pressure wash today. And he wrote me back later that day. And his favorite song was what I thought it would have been. But if you like good lyrics that like his, there's something about his cadences, it's like it scratches like a little place in my brain, the way that the cadence of his words works. And that's I don't know how else to explain it, but
all right, well, I'm excited.
I really love it.
Okay,
it's very mellow. Very mellow.
Okay, that's what I'm gonna sweat to today when Mabel and I go on our hot girl walk. So
good for you. Good for you.
That's what we do.
All right, is it time for five favorites?
It's time for five favorites. Okay, my first one, this is a new, I've kind of been in an eyeliner crisis because, you know, with older eyes, it's like, do you wear eyeliner? Do you not wear eyeliner?
This is a question I ask myself every time I put on makeup.
You know,
eyeliner, yes or no?
That's it. And I can't, and day to day, never. But like when I'm
absolutely
getting,
not.
You know, not ever happening. But like when I'm getting more dressed up. So, but I got this Ilia. It is called, it's waterproof, their through line waterproof eyeliner. And I am going to tell you that I got it in this, I got it in Flourish, which is a copper brown shimmer.
Okay.
Listen, I know that older eyes were supposed to stay away from shimmers, but it's not super shimmery, but it's just a really soft, pretty line. And I really like it. Like it stays on. It's definitely waterproof. It just gives a little bit of a line, but it's not as, harsh as maybe like a true brown. I mean, I haven't worn black eyeliner in years, but like it's just a little softer than a brown. But anyway, I've been wearing it when I got dressed for dinner and different things this weekend, and it's really pretty. So highly recommend if you're looking for a good eyeliner.
I'm wondering about this portrait for me. It says it's an antique gold shimmer. But if it's not a lot of shimmer, you know,
it's not just a lot of shimmer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a lot of shimmer. And I almost think in this case, because since it's not on your lid, because I think you want to avoid the shimmer anywhere that's crepey. Uh-huh. But I think if you're just doing it kind of under your eye or just to kind of highlight, it just almost gives it, it's almost more of a, the shimmer gives it almost a little more of a filtered look to me than a solid color, if that makes sense. But anyway, big fan, really like it. The next thing is this Daydreamer. I got this and then I brought it to Nashville and I have worn it so many times. It's the Daydreamer solid cropped one size t-shirt.
Oh, I saw you wear this. Yes.
Yeah. And it to me is the perfect, it's super soft. It's a one size fits all, which it's just kind of an oversized cropped, but it's not, I mean, you saw it. It's not overly cropped because it, I mean, I don't have to worry about my stomach showing, you know, but I have it in white and now I want to get in another color because it's just the easiest thing to throw on. I've been wearing it with my dreamy drape pants. That's what I had it on with that day. I've worn it with my jean shorts. I put it on with a skirt the other day. Like, it's just really a great little cropped drapey t-shirt and I'm kind of in love with it.
Good colors too.
Yeah, great colors. So big fan. And I have the white and it is not see-through, which is also a bonus.
Always.
So the next thing is that it is time for the Anthropologie, their beauty advent calendar that they have every year. This is something that I got Caroline, I think last year, maybe even the year before, but it's just the most fun little Christmas thing where there's like a little beauty product for every day leading up to Christmas. I noticed they also have just a 12 day this year. So if you don't want to commit to the 24 day,
okay,
you could just do the 12 day, which is half the price. So if you just want to do a little happy for somebody, but not a bigger happy, the 12 day would also be really cute. But it sells out every year. So I just wanted to remind everybody, if you are an Anthropologie Advent Beauty Calendar person, you may want to go ahead and get that ordered.
Okay. Love it.
Yeah. So the next thing is, I mentioned this briefly on the podcast, I think last week, and then some people had messaged me asking about it. I feel like I'm ready to talk about it. I really wanted to make sure.
Yes.
But I was a Revita Lash, Revita Brow loyalist for many years. Many years. Mm-hmm. Then I saw, I believe it was Chelsea Meisner who mentioned this Obagi Eyebrow Boosting Serum that she was using on her lashes and her brows. And I've had this little baldy spot on my inner brow, and it was microbladed a while back, but it was like, it was a weird thing where I was like, it felt like I had microblading and three hairs that grew there. So it always
yes,
it just kind of drove me crazy. So I ordered this to try, and I am gonna tell you, my eyebrow, I can't even tell you the growth. Like,
okay,
like, it has totally filled in that little bald spot. Like, it's made my eyebrows grow like crazy. I feel like I have to trim them now once a week. And my lashes. Like, it, I don't know what's in it, but it is magical. And it's a little higher price point, but it is so good if you are have some sparse brows that you're wanting, or eyelashes for that matter, that you're wanting to grow out.
How often do you use it every day?
I was using it every day. Now I've kind of gone to like every other day, but a little bit. Okay. Like, I literally pull it out, and then what I have on the brush, I do both my eyelash lines and my eyebrows with one thing. And then, because there's plenty on the brush, and I bet I've had it for probably 2 months now.
Okay.
So, and now I'm just using it every other day to maintain.
All right. This is so impressive.
Yeah. Big fan. The next thing, this is a company and they reached out to me, but I have ordered Mabel. It's called the Foggy Dog. I just thought you and Lucy might want to know about it.
No, I ordered something today from the Foggy Dog that will be on my favorites next week, I bet. If it works out like I think it will.
Well, what I got for Mabel was this garden party collar walk set, because
this is adorable.
It just felt real festive, and you can get their name engraved on the gold buckle of the collar. It comes with a little zipper bag that you can put your little poop scoop bags in. It just felt like it was time to elevate our walk situation.
Yes.
I also debated getting her a yellow raincoat, which Caroline told me absolutely not. But joke's on her, because I did get her a quarter zip sweater for the winter.
I will just say this. The enthusiasm with which I went through this website this morning, and it was because, you know, when I bought Lucy the $34 dog scarf last weekend in Nashville, it was a Foggy Dog scarf.
Mm-hmm.
And she's wearing it right now. It's so cute on her.
Yeah.
And so I was looking today. I was like, well, so what else do they have? And I thought, this is actually, maybe we're their target audience, Melanie.
Yeah, that we are.
Because I would absolutely, like, I will load it up on something like this the same way I would have looked for smocked clothing for Alex when he was a baby. I just like, absolutely yes on this for me.
Yeah, we are. Their target audience is empty nesters with disposable incomes who are codependent with their pets.
Absolutely.
And here we are.
These are so cute, and I cannot wait to show this to Casey. She's coming over here in just a little bit, and I cannot wait to show her this for Sebby.
Listen, I got Mabel the blue striped quarter zip dog sweater. I just feel like when the weather cools off, she's really going to enjoy it.
I want to be there when you're putting said sweater on Mabel.
Listen. You know, Mabel likes an outfit, though, because she has a puppy vest that she really enjoys. She does. And you know when we did her Halloween costume, it's the cowboy riding on the saddle? Like, she'll leave that on all day long. It makes her, it doesn't bother her. I think it feels comforting. So I felt like she would enjoy the sweater because she's older and I feel like probably gets a little chillier than she used to.
Yes. So, this is a level of accessory for dogs that just, like, it warms my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I really love this stuff so much, and I can't wait to see a picture of Mabel with her new collar and with her leash. It just, yes.
I know. Well, and now I'm looking through all their bandanas. They have a football bandana, like for football season.
Oh, I know. Yes. Listen, you can theme it out for any holiday. You had no idea there were so many options.
Oh, my gosh.
They did. The scarf that I got Lucy last weekend is a collaboration with Print Fresh.
Oh, okay. Of course.
Which is why it's such a sassy little print.
Yeah, it's so cute.
It's also available in pajamas. You know?
Well, listen, I mean, they have a jack-o'-lantern bandana. Yeah. Oh, listen, this is gonna be a problem. The best part is, though, is that I looked at their beds and Perry was like, she doesn't need a bed. She sleeps on our couch. And I was like, well, that's true. We don't even pretend like she uses her own bed anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, so she's earned it. She's earned the couch.
Mm-hmm. She has. So anyway, that's it for this week for my five favorites.
All right. Well, thanks for those. I feel very inspired.
Well, listen.
Mm-hmm. Very festive.
That's my goal. So,
all right, y'all. Well, we'll be back next week. And I would imagine at some point this week, too, we're going to record our September Southern Living issue for the month.
Oh, yeah. So it is about that time.
It's about that time. So we'll be around for that as well. We had book club last week. We read the book, I See You've Called in Dead, written by John Kenney. And John Kenney was with us on book club. And I told Melanie after he left our discussion, it was another one of those instances. It was like seeing Kate Bowler at Annie's wedding. Watching Melanie enjoy John Kenney's sense of humor as much as I did was just, it was such a treat.
God, he was so good.
He was so good. He was just a delight of a human. So,
and I told Perry, I said, have you talked to anybody in a long time who is clearly as well-read as him? Because how many different people did he quote? He was like, I believe that it was Caesar Augustus who said, yes, it was like so many.
I bet he knows who Alice Roosevelt is.
You know he does. He knows. And he knows something that she said. So,
I was going to say, and he has an anecdote, I bet.
Yeah, I bet he
does.
Man,
he was just a delight. And so that was so fun. That's always so great when we can get authors to come on the book clubs with us. And so anyway, that was a highlight. Loved it.
It really was. Okay, well, y'all, we will be back next week after week two of college football season. So
giddy up.
Let's go.
All right. We'll talk to y'all later.
Bye, y'all.